considered returning through the flame forest without the rods, but soon abandoned the idea. It is probable death to stay, and certain death to go. 3 months before the Teslas become dormant. 120 of the 26-hour local days. An eternity. Dear Christ, why has this come to me? And why was I spared last night if I am merely to be offered up this night, or next? I sit here in the darkening crag, and I listen to the suddenly ominous moaning rising with the night wind from the cleft, and I pray as the sky lights with the blood-red streaks of meteor trails, mouthing words to myself. Day 95. The terrors of the past week have largely abated. I find that even fear fades and becomes commonplace after days of anticlimax. I use the machete to cut small trees for a lean-to, covering the roof and side with gamma cloth and caulking between the logs with mud. The back wall is the solid stone of the boulder. I have sorted through my research gear and set some of it out, although I suspect that I will never use it now. I have begun foraging to supplement my quickly diminishing cache of freeze-dried food. By now, according to the absurd schedule drawn up so long ago on Pacham, I was to have been living with the Bikura for some weeks and trading small goods for local food. No matter. Besides my diet of bland but easily boiled chalma roots, I have found half a dozen varieties of berries and larger fruits that the comlog assures me are edible. So far, only one has disagreed with me enough to keep me squatting all night near the edge of the nearest ravine. I pace the confines of the region as restlessly as one of those caged pelops that were so prized by the minor padishahs on Armagast. A kilometer to the south and four to the west, the flame forest are in full form. In the morning, smoke vies with the shifting curtains of mist to hide the sky. Only the near solid breaks of Bestos, the rocky soil here on the summit plateau, and the hogback ridges running like armor-plated vertebrae northeast from here keep the Teslas at bay. To the north, the plateau widens out and the undergrowth becomes denser near the cleft for some 15 kilometers, until the way is blocked by a ravine a third as deep and half as wide as the cleft itself. Yesterday, I reached this northernmost point and stared across the gaping barrier with some frustration. I will try again someday, detouring to the east to find a crossing point. But from the telltale signs of Phoenix across the chasm and the pall of smoke along the northeastern horizon, I suspect I will find only the chalma-filled canyons and steppes of flame forest that are roughed in on the orbital survey map I carry. Tonight, I visited Tuck's rocky grave as the evening wind began to wail its aeolian dirge. I knelt there and tried to pray, but nothing came. Edward, nothing came. I am as empty as those fake sarcophagi that you and I unearthed by the score from the sterile desert sands near Tarim Belwadi. The Zen Gnostics would say that this emptiness is a good sign, that it presages openness to a new level of awareness, new insights, new experience. Merde. My emptiness is only emptiness. Day 96. I have found the Bikura, or rather, they have found me. I will write what I can before they come to rouse me from my sleep. Today I was doing some detail mapping a mere 4 kilometers north of camp, when the mists lifted in the midday warmth, and I noticed a series of terraces on my side of the cleft that had been hidden until then. I was using my powered glasses to inspect the terraces, actually a series of laddered ledges, spires, shelves, and tussocks extending far out onto the overhang. when I realized that I was staring at man-made habitations. The dozen or so huts were crude, rough hovels of heaped chalma fronds, stones, and sponge turf, but they were unmistakably of human origin.